Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa nabiyyana wa maulana Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن الناس من يشتري لهو الحديث ليضل عن سبيل الله بغير علم ويتخذها هزوا أولئك لهم عذاب مهين صدق الله العلي العظيم. Respected ulama, elders, brothers in Islam, the first few verses of Surah Luqman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the Quran Sharif, great gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this kitab is a means of hidayat, it's a guidebook for a person's life, to guide a person towards the right path. And when a person will follow this, he will get rahmat and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for who is this book? Who will take benefit from the book? Lil muhsineen, those people who do good actions. And who are those who do good actions? Allah mentions three qualities. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. The first quality is their hearts and their minds are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believe in the unseen. Second quality is salah. But salah doesn't only mean salah. It means all the physical actions of worship is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And their money and monetary actions are only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person's body, his wealth, his mind and heart is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, such people, ala hudam min rabbihim, they are on the right path, they are on hidayat, and they are completely successful. And on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they are those people, that means the opposite now. Those who are using their minds and their hearts, they are using their bodies and they are using their wealth in the wrong avenues. Wa minan nasi may yashtari lahu al-hadith. There are certain people who are buying such speech which is lahu. Lahu means which diverts the mind, the attention of a person. What is the object of the person's life, it diverts his attention. Lahu al-hadith. Some sahaba radiallahu anhu mentions that this refers to music. And music, because it completely turns a person's mind away from akhirat, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a person by the name of Nadhr ibn Harith in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a severe enemy of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he used to go to other countries and he would buy, like we see in today's time, novels, books, stories of the kings of the Roman people, etc., and bring it back. And people used to listen to the Quran Sharif and say, don't waste your time with the Quran, come here. I've got these books, I've got these novels. Let us listen to the stories of the people of Iskandariya and all other funny names. And listen to these people. What's more enjoyable? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is telling you about Jannat and Jahannam? Or these stories, these enjoyable books. And he also had one slave girl. She was an expert in singing, in music. So he used to tell people, come to my house, give them some drinks, and let the woman sing for them. And he said, what's more enjoyable, this woman who is singing, or the Quran Sharif, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's more enjoyable? So he would turn people away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyhow, the ulama say this, lahu al-hadith is very general. When Abu al-Hasan al-Najdi rahmatullah alayhi said, he said the word television. Allah ta'ala didn't put it in the Quran, because the Arabs wouldn't have understood the word television. But he said, there's no better word to describe television than lahu al-hadith. Such speech which diverts a person's attention away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from akhirat, from the following the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In today's time, ulama say, one lahu al-hadith is the smartphone. Smartphone also is one form of lahu al-hadith. How it diverts a person's attention away from most important things in his life, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His time, such a valuable time he's got in his life, always go on the cell phone. Person misses Fajr Salah, the whole night he was on the cell phone. The person's mind is completely taken away because of the cell phone, the smartphone. Some ulama say the biggest fitna in today's time is the smartphone. They say those people who never watch TV, they never have TV in their houses. They never brought TV in their houses. It's haram, it's not permissible. The person with the dari, the person who went to Tabligh Jamaat, is in a khanka, is an alim. He never brought TV in his house. So what they did now, they brought a smartphone in our hands. And they say that 99.9% of people who got a smartphone, some of the akabir have mentioned, they did not stay from the evils of the cell phone. The picture is coming on, a person is watching the picture. A person is, somebody is sending him a picture, and he's opening it and looking at the picture. Before this it was haram, he wouldn't watch it.
Now the picture of that woman comes. I'm a Maulana. Nobody is not watching. I'm watching the thing now. Person is, and this is we're talking about, we're not like pornography or whatever, but there's normal pictures. It has become common. Everyone is watching it. It's not a very great thing. This person is lahu. Turns the person's attention away from akhirah, from important things. And then even worse, when a person goes into pornography and to worse things, Allah Ta'ala protect and save us. Not discussing this today. This is as an introduction. This is also one type of lahu al hadith. And we have to be very careful about the cell phone. Inshallah, another time we can discuss on the cell phone, where ulama say that if there is no need for a cell phone, a smartphone, a person should completely abstain. Don't even keep one. And there is no need at all for one's children to have it. Small for children, that he doesn't need it at all, and parents are giving it to the child. And where the person is going, he's destroying. We are actually destroying our children with our own hands. But today, what I want to speak about is another fitna, also lahu al hadith, which is now coming. We all know in the world, the soccer World Cup, which is coming also, and soccer generally, and all of this other Olympics and all of these sport events. And many of our people, they don't, not so much in soccer, but cricket is a pastime. It's a love amongst people. It's an idol in the heart of a person. So really, this is also lahu al-hadith. Such speech, such actions which take the person's mind away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from akhirat. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created shaitan, and he was commanded to make sajda to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, I make sajda for this one you made of sin. He said that he was very upset. So he said, I'm going to destroy human beings. So Allah ta'ala said, go, do what you want to, idhab. Whoever follows you amongst them, Jahannam is his place. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave shaitan certain powers which he can utilize. I'll give you wealth, I'll give you all of the things. So one of the things which Allah ta'ala gave shaitan is, وَأَجْلِبَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ وَرَجِلِكَ. You can attack them with your horses and your men, your soldiers, whatever soldiers you want to. One is physical soldiers who are fighting on the battlefield. They are destroying the lives of the Muslims. But the benefit of them is when they shoot a Muslim, he goes to Jannah directly. And then you get those enemies or those armies which are not attacking the bodies of human beings, they are attacking the minds and the hearts of human beings. So the film actors and actresses and the sports stars, males and females, most people when they're watching tennis, they say we're watching the women's finals. They're not watching the because of the tennis, because they enjoy tennis. They're watching all that haram they want to see there on that screen. So anyhow, this is really a very great fitna. And how it has turned the heart and attention of my people away. We will just mention some harms of the sporting. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that it comes to our minds, we understand the harms of it. And Allah gives us tawfiq, we try to abstain from it. And the great benefit of abstaining from it, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised for a person who abstains from all of these kinds of evils. Well, I must say there are many, many harms and evils of it. I will just mention a few which we have prepared. One hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when any evil action is done on the surface of the earth, كَانَ مَنْ شَهِدَا فَكَرِهَا كَانَكَ مَنْ غَابَ عَنْهَا. Whatever evil is taking place, a person who is present there but he dislikes it, he is like a person who is absent from there. Like he wasn't part of it. He was forced to be there, so he was there. He is like a person who is absent. وَمَنْ غَابَ عَنْهَا فَرَضِيَا كَانَكَ مَنْ شَهِدَا. But a person who is absent from there, he is not there, but he likes it and he is very happy and he is finding out the scores from everyone. He couldn't afford to pay for the ticket, but he is like the person who is present there. So this is, imagine Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, al-maru ma man ahabba yawm al-qiyamah. Whoever you love, on the day of qiyamah you will be with that person. The sahaba radiallahu anhum heard this morning, that it was, the hadith was recited, that a person said, I haven't got so much of extra nafal namazas and fasting, but oh Nabi of Allah, we've got love for you. It's the only thing we've got. Nabi said, al-maru ma man ahabba yawm al-qiyamah. Whoever you love, you will be with that person on the day of qiyamah. So today, sport has become a religion. How it has become a religion, somebody has written so beautifully, that our object of life as a Muslim, the religion of Islam, is to live and die for Allah's pleasure. And the sportsman, the religion of sport, is to live and die for sport. Object of life is sport. All the time he's got that concern and fikr. We got our kalima, la ilaha illallah, and the sportman got his kalima. Manchester, Liverpool. And all these teams, South Africa, I support this team. That's his kalima. We got our messenger, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, perfect role model. And who is their messenger? One person, a non-Muslim person, who's messed up. He's called himself a messy. He's completely messed up in life. His name is like that also. And the other one, Kaka. What a name. And people are also happy to put it on their t-shirts. And they're putting these names. Filthy names. Nothing but Islam, religion. But those are our role models. That's the person I'm following in life. So this is their messengers. Ilm, our knowledge. You ask a person, that brother, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had 11 wives. Can you give me all the 11 wives of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Just ask the names. I'm not asking for the order. Who was the first, second, third, fourth? I'm not asking the order. You say, Khadija, Fatima, who's the other ones? I can't remember nicely. Two or three names maybe a person knows. You know the South African cricket team? Hey, number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Right till last. Bowler also will tell you. And what you call them? Reserves. What you call them? Extra man, whatever. Call that person also. And 5 years ago, who was on the cricket team and all the members and the Australian team and this team and that team, you know all of those names off by heart. This person, who he got married to, who is divorced, what his love life is like, person knows all of those things. So you're asking the 11 wives of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How many grandchildren did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have? And what were the names of the grandchildren of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Most people ask them, Hazrat Hassan and Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, how many children he had? Hazrat Ali and Fatima, they say two. Only Hassan and Hussein. Ulama say six children. Hassan, Hussein, Muhsin, then Zainab, Kulthum, and Ruqayya. Those are the six grandchildren of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Don't think I'm making a mistake. Hazrat Fatima named her children after her sisters. So the three sisters, some say there were two only, and some say there were three. But what about the other daughters of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? How many children they had? How many of us know these things? Basic knowledge we do not know. But you ask a person about cricket, it's a religion. Which religion am I following? Am I following the religion of Islam or the religion of sports? Our scripture is the Quran Sharif, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And their scripture is the sports magazines, the television guide. Our salah is 5 times a day. Their salah is the Mexican wave, jumping up and down, clapping and screaming like monkeys, standing in front of the TV. And sometimes Allah forbid, where a person even goes into sajda for these people. There was one person, never mind making sajda. One person says, you know, I was walking past the sports ground one day, and I saw some youngsters, and I thought to myself, when I was a youngster, we also used to play soccer. And then he said, I got the shock of my life when I see this youngster, he scored a goal. And then he ran and he jumped and he ran around, and then lifted up his hand and said, I am God. He was imitating one of the soccer players who scored a goal, and he also said, I am God. So this youngster did the same thing. Imagine what words of kufr, a Muslim youngster. And this man said, I was completely shocked when I seen this here. And I realized that it's not only an idol now, the sports people have become gods. Our zakat is 2.5% a year for the needs of the poor. Their zakat is the tickets for the matches and for airfares, etc. Our fasting is to abstain from food and drinks and relations from one's wife from morning till sunset. Their fasting is abstaining from salah, zikr, talking with your wife and children till the end of the match. Hajj, we make it once in a life to Makkah Mukarramah. Their Hajj is every 4 years when the World Cup takes place. Umrah, whenever you got the means, you go for Umrah. The Umrah, whenever they got all general matches at home and abroad. Our zikr, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in our worldly activities, we remember Allah. And their religion is the remembrance of matches and players, even in Salah. As Abdul Rahim Sahib, Dhamma Barakatuh, mentioned in India, he was one with the wali, he used to go around to all different masjids. So he went to one masjid in Gujarat. So the Imam Sahib was performing Salah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Score huche. What's the score? So the mutawalli was in the back. He said, before I tell you the score, you fired. Your own namaz, you're sitting and worrying about the score. What is the score? What is the cricket score? You are thinking about that. But I don't know what namaz you perform behind you. So he fired the Imam Sahib. Because imagine, he's also thinking in his salat about the cricket matches. One day, Murana Hussein Hamadani rahmatullah, saw one South African young, Murana Umarji Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi. He was playing cricket. So Hussein Madani rahmatullah had a lot of khairas, and he hated the British and whatever they had brought, because soccer and cricket was actually brought as a it was their sport, and it was forced upon the non-Indian, non-English people, etc. And they forced it and made it a national sport in those countries. So Maulana Hussein Ahmadani rahmatullah got upset. He said, "You and the sport of the kuffar, how can you play this sport? Even playing that sport, make our own sport." Why must you follow the sports of the kuffar in their lifestyle? Because one very great harm of following the sports is, you notice this amongst anybody. Whatever sport you play, automatically the person who is an expert in the field, you start loving that person. Because you're playing a certain sport, you want to become the best in it. So you're not happy now that, I want to see the person who's better than me. He's better than me. So automatically in your heart, you get the love of those people. So this is one, the zikr. Now this person is only thinking about them. clothing, we wear the modest clothing of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and their religion is the clothing, the immodest, tight-fitting clothing of the sports stars. Our jihad is to fight those who stop the spread of Islam, even if it's with one's family members. And their jihad is to fight those people who support another team, even if it's their own family members. They'll make jihad with them. Allah Ta'ala says, أَيُّوْكِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغَضَاءَ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرَ. Shaitan intends to create enmity and hatred amongst you people by means of khamr, wine, and gambling. And this is also one kind of gambling, one kind of wine. It completely covers the mind of a person. How much of enmity is created in one house? A person is saying, I support this team and you support another team. The one team wins, you're laughing and mocking the other person. He becomes upset with you. Husband and wife are fighting. Once they were traveling in a plane, and this person in front of us, he was a non-Muslim person, and he's laughing and he's screaming, and the one team won, and he's shouting to the whole aeroplane, and who's the supporters of the other team, and he's mocking them, and now they're laughing at one another, and such a foolish thing, and we're not getting no benefit at all, but I support, that's my team. So we prepare to make jihad against our own people also. Allah says, وَالَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرُ وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنُ. Allah created you, some are kuffar and some are believers. There's two groups only. Unfortunately, we have broken the whole ummah up into different groups. I support this team, I support that team, I love those people, I love that team. Really, this is it's a major sin in the heart of a person, but us not even realizing it. A religion of Islam alliance to those who believe in Islam, even if their nationalities and skin color are different. And the religion of sport, that our alliance is to those who support the same team, even if they hate Allah and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Islam. Our disavowal in Islam to those who are enemies of Islam and try to cause harm to it. And the religion of sport, our disavowal is to those who do not support our one team, even if it be a Muslim brother. And our da'wat of the religion of Islam is to publicize the religion of Islam and to invite others to do so. And the religion of sport is to publicize, defend and justify one team and inviting other people to do the same. So a religion, and really a person is following this religion. Yeah, unfortunately, how many of our Muslim people, they feel proud that my son is going for his colors. He's also in a cricket team, and he's in the soccer team, and how like we feel proud about it. It's a thing of great honor for us. And what is the person doing? Really, there's no great benefit of it. One harm of sport is, once the Khalid, Harun al-Rashid, one person came to him, and he brought one board, and he had one needle there, and 10 needles in a line, and he took another needle, which he had in his hand, another pen, and threw the hole, you know how small that hole is, the eye of the needle, and he had 10 in a line, so he took this one pen and he threw it, and it went through all 10. So the Khalifa was surprised. He said, so many years I took to art, to win, to get this art of throwing this pen inside, and he went through all. So he told the royal treasurer, you know, I'm the king, and he came here with some umid and some hope that I will get some money, so give him 10 dirhams, some money, and take the whip and give him 10 lashes. And this man has wasted 10 years of his life, or 5 years of his life, doing something which is of completely no use and no benefit at all. Who is getting any benefit in that? Really, one person kicking a soccer ball. What benefit? The person who created a peg. Do we know who created the peg? At least every morning we're putting on our clothing. Shukr we make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this man created the peg. No one knows in the world who created a peg. But that one man is scoring one goal. And we're all jumping and we're so excited about it. Isn't that the height of foolishness? So this is one great harm. Is that one harm is that it diverts a person's attention away from salat and the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Zionists, in their protocols they have mentioned there, in order to keep the masses misguided and unaware of what is ahead of them and behind them in the dunya and akhirat, or what is plotted against them, we will increase ways of keeping them busy by establishing new forms of entertainment, fun, games and different sports. Then we will have the newspapers call for contests and tournaments of this nature, and the people in the world must become affected by these things. So this is what they have written, and unfortunately we are falling headline and sinking into it. Our love for them, unfortunately, مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَوَ مِنْهُمْ. There was one guy, one soccer player, it's hard to take the names also. So the barber made a mistake, they made a mistake when cutting his hair. Same day, thousands of people, youngsters, they wanted the same haircut. There was a mistake, but this is مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ. Such foolish people, but you want to follow them. One day one person phoned in the madrasa, they asked me, they want to name their child Zaidan. So I said, Zaidan, two Zaids. I said, normally it's not, you call one Zaid, why must you call two Zaids? I don't know, then somebody knows one name of a soccer player. I said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. A person is actually happy and excited to call his child by the name of one of these kuffar players. When my son was born, So in, let them wanted to name him Muhammad also. And family wanted to name him Yusuf, so we said Muhammad Yusuf. And that time also I was teaching the kitab of Mawlana Yusuf Lughlani rahmatullahi alayh. And Mawlana Yusuf, Mawlana Muhammad Yusuf rahmatullahi alayh, the Adir of Tabligh Jamaat. So under those two names, I named my son. And then somebody saying, oh, you named your son after the cricketer. I said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. I don't even know it's the cricketer by that name. But people like so excited for a kafir's name, or even a fasiq believer. But as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that when a fasiq is praised, in the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shakes. One, Haji Farooq Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, one day he met one youngster. And the youngster was walking. Every time we meet him, we don't make salam to him. But on Friday, he wears a soccer clothing, whatever. But on Fridays, he wears kurta. And when Haji Farooq Sahib rahmatullahi used to meet him, then make salam to him very nicely. So Haji Farooq Sahib rahmatullahi asked him one day, he said, what's wrong with you? Every day in a week, you don't make salam, you act like you're a non-Muslim. He said, no, when I wear this clothing, I got a different feeling. Actually, I get the hatred of Islam in my heart. So I don't want to meet with any of the people, of the pious people, etc. But on Friday, the day of Jummah, so I wear kurta. So then I feel it's very easy for me to make salam. So whoever you're imitating, you're becoming like them, you are thinking like them. A person becomes emotionally affected by the sport. There was one chairman in it's written in an Egyptian newspaper, Abu, I forget his name. So anyhow, he was a owner of one big factory. So he was watching his soccer, the soccer match, and he scored one goal. He jumped up, he ran to his whole family and he gave every one of them a kiss. And after a few minutes, the other team, they scored a goal. And equal, and then he scored another goal. He was very affected. He went into his room, he lied down. Family went there, he had a heart attack, he passed away. How it emotionally affects a person. People who got love for these things, it affects a person. Then there is the waste of money. Now in Qatar, Allah forbid, the Muslim country, $22 billion is being spent in Qatar. Such an unproductive sport. Billions are extracted from the public people for the privilege of watching 22 people carrying out the most unproductive skills. As I mentioned one day, that Hitler in the 1950s or 60s, whenever it was, he went to in Germany, he went to watch one cricket match. So after the first day, it was a test match. So after the first day, he asked who won. So they said, no one won, it's 5 days. He said, you mean my whole country must come to a standstill for 5 days? And he banned the sport from the country. He said, it's a waste of time. Until today, cricket is not a very famous sport in Germany. Because he banned it at that time, he said the whole country will go on like unproductive, no benefit at all for the country. And this is what we are allowing in our country. So he stopped this here. So how much of millions, rands are wasted, hours are wasted. 22 monkeys kicking one pig king, some trying in this pole and some trying in the other pole. And really what is the pole? Now in this Qatar World Cup, the palace, the pole, where the place where normally they score the goal, they say the top left or the right left or whatever on top. There's a name, they're teaching the people Arabic words, you have to learn some Arabic words. So the name of the place is Aina Yaskunu Shaitan. He's teaching the people the word is Aina Yaskunu Shaitan, where the Shaitan live. So he lives in the poles. A person who's scoring the goal, he's making Shaitan happy. So really this soccer is not just a sport. It's actually a religion. On top of the World Cup, before it was, the national 1930 to 1974, the symbol of Nike was found on the trophy, because Nike is a symbol of the Greek god of victory. And now they've taken him out, but they put a man and woman, and they are carrying the earth. And this is symbolic of Atlas. He's also one of the Greek gods who used to carry, according to them, he was punished, or he was a friend of the god, and he did something wrong, and then he was punished, and he was told he has to carry the earth. This is according to Greek mythology. So now this is the World Cup. So this is what we are saying, that we are following these things. And unfortunately, sometimes, even there was one soccer player, I don't take his name in the masjid, they call him the god of FIFA World Cup. Even in the god, actually. This Nike also, we should abstain completely from it. Once, Adi ibn Hatim radiallahu anhu, he had a cross on him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him and he said, oh Hatim, itrah anka hadal wasan. This idol, throw it away from you, get rid of that thing. Person so beautifully has written that when a Arabi came and urinated in the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallam showed shafqat and love for him. And he said, no, just let him urinate properly and after that we'll sort it out. But when he was wearing this cross, then because this was the thing of shirk and idol worship, Nabi sallallahu became very, very upset with him and said, get rid of this thing, it's filthy and dirty, this cross. So really this Nike, as far as possible, we should abstain completely from it. It's a sign of the Greek goddess of victory. And many people have it on their clothing. And we buy these things. And this is a symbol of kufr, of disbelief. So as far as possible, a person should abstain from it. Even in today's time, many of their symbols, the Barcelona and England and all of them, they've got crosses on it. And this actually was given what you call it, Knights Templar, these Satan worshippers, they were given to certain only special groups of people. They were given these certain kinds of symbols which are placed on the soccer kits of many, many countries of the world. And unfortunately, even Saudi Arabia, on their flags written, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So on the soccer ball, when they've got the flags of all the different countries, so the flag of Saudi Arabia is placed there. And when people are kicking that ball, they're actually kicking the word, they're kicking Allah's name and they're kicking the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala protect and save us. I will just end off with this. So what is our solution for this? So I'll mention from the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that when a person abstains from these things, what benefit will he get? So Allah ta'ala in a very beautiful way it mentions, لَا تَجِدُ قَوْمًا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. You will not find, it's not possible to get. The ulama say, what a ajeeb way Allah mentioned this here. One is, Allah said, don't have like for the non-Muslims. But Allah said, لَا تَجِدُ, it's not possible to find a people who believe in Allah in the day of Qiyamah. It's not possible, you can't be a Muslim. If you believe in Allah in the day of Qiyamah, you are duna who will have love. من حد الله ورسوله, for those who are the enemies of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَوْ كَانُوا أَبَاهُمْ وَأَبْنَاهُمْ وَإِخْوَانُهُمْ وَعَشِيرَتَهُمْ. Even if it's their fathers or their children or their brothers or their family members, it's not possible to have love for them. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu showed this here, you read in the Tafsir Kitab, in the battle of Badr, their own fathers and their own children and their own brothers and family members, they were prepared to actually kill them. Because they were the enemies of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And today we have love for these people. So Allah mentions five great benefits. For a person, obviously it's a difficult thing, if a person is involved in it, to come out of it, first thing is a person must make tawbah. Ask Allah for forgiveness. Realize that I'm involved in this day, I'm involved in cricket and soccer, and I'm wasting my time, I've wasted my life for the akhirat. What a sin I'm involved in. There are many people, I know five people, they got no TV in their houses, but only for cricket we keep a TV. We've got a TV set there. We only watch TV, cricket. Is that a bad sport? Well, what's wrong with watching cricket? We're not seeing a haram. Obviously looking and honoring those people is a haram thing. On the cricket scene, they are showing all pictures of women, etc. As my Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentioned, that one lady, she wrote a letter to him. She said, you know, I didn't like cricket, but my husband one day forced me to go to the stadium. And I went there, and the Pakistani cricket team was playing. And there was one man, he was fielding right near to me. And she said, I kept looking at him, and you know, the love of that man came into my heart. And now I've got no love for my husband. And all the time I'm thinking about this man. So she wrote to my Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali to ask, that how can I come off this here? Mufti Farooq Mirzi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he mentioned to us once, he says that one lady, there was one man, he was all the time on a picture, looking at it, and he's like, in love, I want to get married to this woman. So then somebody went to ask him, who are you? Like, he was a normal, ordinary person. So he said there was one cricketer, one tennis player from India. She was very good one, Indian tennis player, one of the famous tennis players in the world. So he fell in love with her picture. But he's a nobody. He'll never ever get there in life. But now he's fell in love, he's sitting and thinking about her all the time. So how can a person have love for all of these people? So Allah Ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ. The first benefit, when you will come out of the love of these people, it's great, difficult thing, because Sahaba had to fight and kill their own family people. But Allah says, the first benefit, Allah will write in your heart Iman. Allah will write Iman in your heart. And not kufr and disbelief. As Mufti Ibrahim Salaji Sahab, Ra'un Barakatum, he says there were two people who used to come to him. So then he saw this one person, suddenly his clothing changed. Before he was always wearing this kit and the uniform. Now he sees, now mashallah, he's coming, he changed his uniform. He asked him, how come you stopped soccer? And he said, you know, before, myself and my friend, we had a lot of love for the soccer. All the time involved in soccer. And the posters in our rooms and all of these things. One day my friend came home and he wasn't feeling well. He told his family, please phone the ambulance. I want to go to hospital. He said, ambulance, you're not so sick. He called the doctor. He said, no, phone the ambulance. So to make him happy, they phoned the ambulance to come pick him up. In the house, he's telling the family now that, you know, I left so much money is here, so much is here. If something happens to me, this is how you must sort out things. Why are you speaking like this? He said, just listen to me. Anyhow, he carried on speaking to them until the ambulance came. Ambulance comes, he goes into the ambulance, and then he's like bidding farewell to them. Anyhow, he goes to the hospital, and then they're doing some tests on him, and they phone the family. They say, we put him on our test, and he's gone into a coma, and we've done the test, and we found he's got cancer. And his cancer has spread to his brain. And it seems like he's only got 48 hours to live. So after 24 hours, he woke up. And there was one soccer player that time, Alan somebody. He said, Alan, I love you. Alan, I adore you. Alan, I worship you. And he fell down and he passed away. Imagine, أُولَٰئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ. If a person stays away from these people, Allah will write Iman in his heart. And if not, we've got love for these people, kufr will be written in our heart. So this is the first benefit Allah will give you, write Iman in your heart. وأيدهم بروح من. And Allah will give you assistance with a special assistance from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama have given different meanings. One meaning is that you abstain from the help of the kuffar and disbelievers and all of those people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is in jihad, in battle, you need help and assistance. Allah said, my assistance will be with you. Those people don't like you, they don't love you. Don't worry, you want assistance, you don't need their assistance. Allah's help and assistance is with you. So this is the great second benefit. Allah's help and assistance will come to a person. Allah says, وَيُدْخِلُهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِي الْنَهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. Remember why you came in this world? You came to prepare for akhirat. Allah will enter you into such gardens flowing beneath their rivers, and they will remain there forever and forever. Number four, fourth benefit, which is greater than jannat, is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, radiyallahu anhum. Allah will be pleased with them. Subhanallah. Hafiz ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi says, he says that these people, they chose the pleasure of Allah over the pleasure of human beings. So because of that, Allah said, I'm happy with you. Allah will be pleased with them. And they left out the pleasure of all the people and whatever they loved of the dunya and the people of the dunya. So Allah said, I'll be happy with you. And you must be happy with me. I'm going to give you so many bounties in the year after that you'll be extremely happy because of the day. Radiallahu anhum wa radu anhum. You'll get the pleasure of Allah and you will be pleased when you will see what Allah will give to a person. Ulaika hizbullah. This is the army of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, ala inna hizballahi humul muflihun. The army of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're in complete success. If you want success of dunya, you want the success of the qabr, you want success of akhirat, it lies in following the command of Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of the greatest imtihans, and this is an examination in life, Allah is testing, that who do you love? Man ahabba lillahi wa abghadha lillahi faqad istakmal al-iman. A person who loves for the pleasure of Allah and he hates for the pleasure of Allah, his iman is kamil and perfect. Really, if we are involved in this, to make tawbah and istighfar, ask Allah ta'ala. Now the World Cup will be taking place, everyone is talking about it. And in Qabzaman Hadith, in the Hayat al-Sahaba, it mentioned two Sahabi or Tabi, and they were walking, and one of them passed away. So the other one saw him in a dream. How did Allah deal with you? He said, you remember the one day we were in the marketplace, and everyone was talking about dunya and the enjoyment of dunya, whatever they were involved in this year. And we said, let's make the dhikr of Allah, let's remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time. The whole world, everyone was unmindful of Allah, we remembered Allah. Allah said, because of the day, I've forgiven all your sins, I'll enter you into Jannah. When the whole world is unmindful of Allah ta'ala, at that time now a person goes 40 days in the path of Allah. A person sits in the masjid, he doesn't waste his time with the cell phone, with all of these things. He doesn't even know this thing is taking place. He doesn't read the newspapers, he doesn't worry at all about it. Subhanallah, this person on the day, Allah ta'ala will forgive that person. Allah wants to give a person jannah, and Allah has mentioned all of these great bounties. Keep them in mind, inshallah, and Allah ta'ala will take us out from this big guna and sin, which many of us are involved in. And it's not actually a sin only, it's actually an idol which has come into our hearts. This is an islahi jalsa. Islam is to reform ourselves. If one lesson we can take back, so many different lessons, but one thing is we can remove from our heart ghayrullah. And this is one form of ghayrullah which is coming in the heart, those besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can take it out from our heart. Inshallah, we will be successful in this one in akhirat. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahu wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.